morning. Isaiah chapter 57. And it is good to be in the Lord's house. And I know we have much going on and much to pray about. And I really pray and try to get the Lord's will for the messages. And I want to try to help people and be a blessing. And especially this time of the year, it seems like it's sometimes a little harder than other times of the year. I think because so many people's minds, we have so much going on. And it sort of is a drain on us spiritually sometimes. So you really pray this morning that the Lord would help me and would help us as God's people. This is just a little bit different, but I hope and pray you'll get a blessing out of it. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter number 57. And we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today and all the many blessings you've given to us, just the opportunity to be here and, Lord, to hear the good songs and to fellowship one with another. And Lord, it just seems like, especially today, just to be able to come together and pray as thy people. Lord, we have much that we are praying about, praying for, people that are sick. Lord, we especially remember Ethan today. God, that you'd just be with him and help and touch. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to get our hearts and minds on the Word of God for a little while this morning. And Lord, I ask that you'd really help us from the Word of God. I pray you would just speak to us today. I pray you'd give good liberty to preach the Word of God. And Lord, that your will would be done. That if there's anybody here that's lost, Lord, that you'd show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, that you'd just help us as thy people to see something from the Word of God. And we'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, you pray for us this morning, as I've already said. But let's read that verse one more time as we get started. The Bible says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." And this passage of Scripture is one that I've preached out of maybe two or three different messages in the past year or year and a half. And so I'd preached out of it, and I'd come back and read it again, preached out of it, come back and read it again. I preached a revival message out of verse number 14, where it says, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And so I've preached out of this passage of Scripture several times in the past year or so. And in reading back over it, I come across verse number 1, verse number 2, and really begin to, I'd underlined a thing or two and looked at it. And there's just some very interesting truths in this passage of Scripture that I want to try to bring out today. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. The holidays, you know, we use that word. When we say that, I'm talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, just this time of the year in general. For a lot of people, they're very sad times of the year. And it's a sad time of the year, especially for people that have lost loved ones. You think about Thanksgiving, you think about Christmas. People begin to think about special memories that they have. You know, all of us that are of any age at all, we can remember back. We think about grandparents that are no longer here. Some people, parents, maybe even children. We have memories. We think about getting together with our family. We think about traditions. We think about just all kinds of things along those lines. And most of us can think about somebody that we especially miss
at this time of the year. You know, I miss my grandparents. I think about Christmas. That's who we no longer have in our family. And we think about times where we've gotten together with them. And, you know, you just think about stuff like this at this time of the year. And people that we especially miss during the holidays. And so I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of God's sovereignty in the death of His saints. God's sovereignty in the death of His saints. And when we think about the word sovereignty, God's sovereignty has to do with His power and His will exercised in the affairs of men. What that means when we say is that God is sovereign, it means that He's in control. It means that He's the King. It means that His power is not lost upon us in these last days. You know, I was reading last week Proverbs 27:1, and the Bible says over there, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, we can say that tomorrow we're going to do such and such, but you really don't know if you're going to or not. We don't know what's going to happen by the time the sun goes down today. We don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, let alone tomorrow. But you know what? The good news is God does. God does. God knows what's going to happen in the next hour, and He knows what's going to happen tonight, and He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says in Psalms 103:19, it says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." I really like that. His kingdom ruleth over all. What that means this morning is that no matter what happens in the world, God is not surprised. Nothing ever happens and God didn't already know about it before it ever happened, before it ever took place. God's not surprised. God is never subverted in His purposes. Sometimes it may look like the devil's getting the upper hand, but I'm telling you, God's kingdom rules over all. There's nothing that happens that God is subverted in, or that He is that the devil gets the upper hand upon him. And God is never sorry about what happens. What I mean like about in saying that is that God, if God wanted to, God could stop even death itself. God can stop. God can change circumstances and things. But there's never anything happens that God says, "Boy, that's one situation. I'm sorry that I let. Oh, I messed up there." God never. Never. He's sovereign. He's in control. "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth overall." And there's three things I want to show you out of this verse about God's sovereignty in the death of His saints. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you when we think about those we love that have gone on before us. Number one, I want to point out today, there are the circumstances of death. Now, verse number one, the Bible says, "The righteous perisheth." This is talking about death. Said, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away." There's two words there that describe death. One is that word perisheth, and the other is those two words, taken away. And you know, as you think about it this morning, that is exactly how death comes upon us. It'll be one of those two ways. We will either perish, or we'll just be taken away. Now, when you see the word perisheth there, what that has in mind, a man or a woman, they may perish. What happens when we perish is that we might come to the place where old age finally catches up with us and a person becomes sick and they die. We perish from off the earth. Perish has the idea of old age, or maybe a sickness comes upon us and slowly takes us away. There is a pining away. There is a gradual going downhill. Literally, when we think about somebody and them being sick or maybe just getting on up in years, we will lose them. We are losing them. We can physically see them begin to perish. And one thing happens and another thing happens and they perish from among us. They will eventually, it's going to happen to all of us, one or the other, we're going to leave this world, but sometimes it could be described as that they perish. You know, they just got sick. They just got old, and finally, what the Bible says, we all gonna die one of these days and perish. So there's the word perish, but then it describes also, it says, taken away. When you see that phrase taken away in verse number 1, merciful men are taken away. That implies a suddenness, an unexpected death, an untimely death, an unplanned for. You know, a lot of times we'll hear about somebody dying and we'll ask the question, we'll say, well, were they sick? You know, if somebody's been sick, you sort of plan on it, you sort of expect it. But that's not how everybody passes away. Sometimes people are just literally, they are just taken away from us. They were here today and gone tomorrow. Just like that, gone. Taken away. You know, we could drive ourselves crazy this morning thinking about why does God take a young person and leave an older person? Why do some people get sick and get better, and other people they die in an accident? They are suddenly why? You know, you can go crazy thinking about things like that. When our daughter passed away, she was 5 months old. Hannah, she would have been 17 last November. She had been 17 years old. She passed away when she was 5 months old, and her being that young and the circumstances the way they were, I mean, she had been sick and had a cold. We'd been to the doctor all week long, back and forth, trying to figure out what was wrong with her. And then one morning, Kim got up with her, and she basically just had a heart attack there in the house, and Kim had to give her CPR, and the people came to the first responders and the ambulance, and they rushed her down to Winston-Salem, and we rushed down there behind the ambulance, and we sat down there in a little room for a little while, and it wasn't long. They came, and the doctor came, and he told us, he said, I'm sorry, she's gone. Just like that. Taken away here and fine 1 week, and the next week gone and buried in the family graveyard and all like that. Why does things like that happen? They did an autopsy on her, and they came back after that, and they told us is a few months after she had passed away. They said, well, we did the autopsy, we got the report back. They told us that she had a very rare, very, very rare heart condition. And so rare that they didn't even really know very much about it. And they began to tell us about that heart disease that she had. And, you know, we'd never even heard or didn't know about anything like that. But, you know, if we'd have spent the last 17 years wondering to ourselves, well, why did that happen? Could we have done something different if we'd have known this or if we'd have just known that? Let me tell you this morning, it wouldn't have done her any good and it wouldn't have done us any good. So, people say, well, what if? Well, what if? You know what the Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What if? You know what? I believe this morning that every one of us have got an appointment with death. And what if you'd have done this or that? It wouldn't have made any difference. God knows. God is sovereign in the circumstances of life. And God is sovereign in the circumstances of death. And God knows how long we're going to have on this earth. And God is the only one that holds all of the circumstances in His hand. He's the only one that can do anything about it. We've got a day appointed. I believe that. I believe there's a day appointed that God knows that I'm going to die. And that's the same way about any of us. We better be ready. That's what we'd better worry about. Those that have gone on before us, I know many times people get sick and they lay over in the hospital and we say, well, if we'd have done this different, if we'd have done that different, you know what? You might get to heaven one day and find out you'd done everything you could have done and should have done. And that was just the day God had that He's going to take them home. There's the circumstances of death. Second of all, this morning I want to show you in verse number 1, there is the consideration of death. There's a couple of things I want to point out in this verse. Look what the Bible says. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Layeth it to heart. That means to think about it. Layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. None considering. Notice those two words there. None layeth it to heart. None considering, the Bible says. That lets me know two things out of verse number 1. It lets me know, first of all, that God does know what He's doing. And second of all, it lets me know that God wants us to consider what He's doing. To think about what He's doing. When somebody passes away, you know, three Thursday nights ago, we went over to school like we do every Thursday in the fall and in the spring. And we have all known that Sister Patty's been sick for quite some time. She's battled cancer and she's been in the hospital and out of the hospital. She's had chemo and all of these things, but the week before that, I'd talked to Brother Honeycutt, and I'd sort of felt like that she had maybe turned the corner. And they were optimistic about her treatments and what they'd been doing for her. And she'd just finished up a round of treatments on one Thursday, and we come back the next Thursday. I believe it was the 16th on the Thursday night. And we just had gotten into school, and Preacher Honeycutt come up, and he was standing there where we all gather around in the schoolroom, and he came up to me and he said, hospice is over there with Sister Patty. And he said, and they don't think that she's going to make it through the night. And here we are, we just come to school, and here's the school, and you just walk right over to their house. And the ambulance had just brought her back and just left, and they'd got her in the bedroom there, and we sort of wondered, you know, well, what should we go on? Should we have school? Shouldn't we have school? And Preacher Honeycutt, he said, now, we talked about it, and we believe that this is exactly what Sister Patty would have wanted. He said, we're just going to carry right on. That's what she would have wanted. We're going to have school tonight. And so we started, and we always start with prayer. And we had prayer, and I heard him call on the, got a little, CB type thing or walkie-talkie where they communicate back and forth downstairs and upstairs. And I heard him tell his son-in-law, he said, you better come over here. It's very close. We got done praying, and it wasn't just a few minutes. Preacher Honeycutt came up there, and he didn't even have to say anything. They were sitting there taking a test in Old Testament survey. Preacher Honeycutt walked up, and he just looked at everybody, and he just pointed up towards heaven. Sister Patty had gone to be with the Lord while we were there having school, and he said that's the way that she would have wanted it. Now, does God know what He's doing, or doesn't He? The Lord knows what He's doing. That affected many people in many different ways, the way that all happened. But I'll tell you, when I stood up to teach class just a couple of hours after that, and the funeral home, you could look right out the window. They were over there to get Sister Patty's body and take it to the funeral home. I'll tell you, it put something in my heart about how important it is what we're doing. And how we'd better use every opportunity to do what God wants us to do while we have breath in our lungs to do it, because we just may very well be here today and gone tomorrow. We don't know. But God knows what He's doing when people leave this world, when they pass away. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it said, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." God said, you know, it's better to go to the funeral home than it is to go down to the restaurant, than it is to have some kind of big feast. For that is the end of all men. There's just something very sobering about going to the house of mourning and looking over into the casket and seeing somebody that we love. Somebody that we have known, somebody that we fellowshiped with, somebody that we've been friends with. There's something about that that makes us think about that's going to be me one day. That's going to be me one day. James says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanisheth away." Just like you blow a candle out and that smoke floats up into the air and it's gone. God says that's what your life is like. You don't know what's going to be on the morrow. Your life is as a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. You young people, I know how it is. You look at people that are 30 years old. Boy, that'll hurt some of you 30-year-old, your feelings. But you young people, you look at somebody that's 30 or 35 and you say, boy, they're old. And you look at somebody that's 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 and you say, well, they're ancient. But I'll tell you, if you was 90 years old this morning, you'd stand up and testify, it gets gone in a hurry. It gets gone just like that. Our lives pass by so quickly and so fast. The thing that we do know this morning is that we don't know when we're going to die. But we better know where we're going. We'd better know that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you and I don't know this morning, but there may be a casket right over in Boone in one of the funeral homes that somebody that we know or from our midst is going to be placed into one of these. We don't know. We don't know. They're already there. They keep them in stock. You go and pick them out. They somebody for somebody that we know, but we don't know who. We don't know when. It might be me. It might be you. We don't know, but I'll tell you what we'd better know. We'd better know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We'd better know that if our time does come, that we're going to meet Him, that we're going to go to heaven. The Bible said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Do you know that this morning? I'll tell you, when it comes my time to die, I don't think anybody will have to stand around and say, "Well, I wonder where he stood. I wonder if he knew the Lord." I'll tell you, that's one of the saddest things you'll ever see in your life, is to go to the funeral home and the family not even know if the person was saved or not. Well, we hope they are. We hope they were. We don't know. They never said nothing much about it. I'll tell you, we ought to tell somebody that we know we're saved. And have a good testimony of salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest things we can leave our family, is the assurance that we're in heaven. They don't have to worry about us. Are you saved this morning? Do you know that beyond any shadow of doubt? God says that the righteous perisheth and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering. Now, let me show you one last thing and I'll be done this morning. There is, last of all, there's the comfort of death. The comfort of death. Look what it says in verse number 1. It said, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You ought to underline that in your Bible there, that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Now, specifically, this was talking about the Jews that would die and be spared before the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity was a horrible, horrible thing that came upon the nation of Israel. Not only did the enemy come against them, but the enemy besieged them. They burnt the town. There was famine. There was death. There was mothers that were eating their own children just to stay alive. It was a horrible, horrible time. But before it ever happened, God said that the righteous are taken away. None considering, the Jews were notorious for their mourning and grief. But God said what He was doing in that was being merciful. It was being a blessing. Because they were being spared from, they were being taken away from the evil to come. I got to thinking about that. If I could think of a good illustration in the Bible of what the righteous being taken away from the evil to come, I would preach on Noah's family before the flood. You know, when the flood came, all of Noah's righteous family had died. His mother, his father, he worked, he preached. God's going to judge. God's going to send a flood. If you're going to get right with God, you'd better be getting right with God. But you know, he had a great, 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 I forget how many, he had a grandpa. I believe he was the last one of the bunch, Mr. Methuselah. You study about Brother Methuselah over there, and he lived to be 969 years old. And his name, if you study it out, his name meant, when he dies, it shall come. And finally, the day came. Old Brother Methuselah passed away. People said about him, no doubt, I don't think that old man's ever going to die. He's lived longer than anybody we've ever known. He's outlived his children and a lot of his grandchildren and all of them. But finally, Methuselah died. You know what God was doing? God was sparing him from that flood. Showing them. We don't think sometimes about when somebody dies, what they're actually being. We don't know. Only God knows. But what that they might be being spared from. We hate to see death. But if a person is saved and they're ready to go meet the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know sometimes what a blessing it can be? You know, any of us with any age, we all have seen it come to the place where we'd say, these things worse than dying. There are things that are worse than dying. I'm talking about if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, there's nothing worse than dying because no matter how bad death is, that's just the beginning. If you're not saved by the grace of God, and you die without the Lord Jesus Christ and die and go to hell, your torment's just begun. But if you're saved by the grace of God, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, death can be a blessing. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? That sounds crazy. But you know what? I've seen people get sick before. I've seen people in families get sick. And very, very sick. And our first prayer, our first reaction is always, Lord, please help them. Lord, please touch them. Lord, if it's your will, let them get better. Now, we've all seen that before. But you know what? It's not always God's will that people get better. Sometimes people get worse and they get worse and they get sicker and they get sicker and they suffer and they suffer. They suffer terribly. I've seen people suffer to the place where the family changed the way they were praying. And instead of saying, Lord, let them get better, they said, Lord, let them go home. Lord, if they're not going to get any better, then just take them home. We can't stand to see them suffer. We can't stand to see them go through and pine away and all these things. You know, there's a very strange verse in the Word of God. It says in Psalms 116, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." You think about that this morning. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now we think about death, and I'll be honest this morning, I don't see very much precious in it. For us, when we see death come, it's very painful. It's very final. It's very hard for us when somebody we love dies and leaves our presence. It is a very, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, who it is, no matter how sick somebody is, it's hard to let them go. And there's always pain there. There's always heartache there. There's always grief that goes along with that. But you know what? From God's perspective, it's a different matter. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." What if this morning we could see the great big picture of what goes on when somebody that's saved by the grace of God dies? If we could really see what's going on, the big picture, I believe sort of what we might see would be there's a earthly family that gathers around in a sick room or a hospital or a bedroom somewhere, and that earthly family gathers around, and we grieve and we pray and we hate to see our loved one pass away. It's hard to see. It causes grief and heartache and pain. It's hard to let them go. No matter even how sick they are, it's hard on us. And then when the time of death finally comes, there's crying and pain and heartache. And there'll be services and funerals and all of those things. But you know what? If we could just see it from God's perspective, I believe what we would see, what maybe many times we don't think about, is there on the other side, there's a heavenly family that's already gone on to be with the Lord, that's already on the other side. And while the earthly family's gathered around the sick bed and anticipating that their loved one is going to die and pass away, there's a heavenly family on the other side that says, "It's just going to be a little while. Just going to be a little while." They're not waiting for death, they're waiting for life. "And I'm going to see mama again. I'm going to see my son again. I'm going to see my grandchildren again. They're going to pass through this time of heartache and pain, and they're really going to live." Paul said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Do you think that ever the Lord up in heaven gets a family around? I'm talking about the family that's already in heaven, and gathers them around and says, "Now you just watch this. It's going to be a special day in heaven. There's somebody you love getting ready to walk through them gates, getting ready to be escorted. And I'm telling you, when they wake up in heaven, however it happens, there's no sad face. There's no contorted facial expression of death upon them, but there's the joy of seeing Jesus." If we could see the big picture, we'd see how it is. How could that be precious in the sight of the Lord? When my grandmother Greer was sick and over in the hospital, she'd just gone downhill and downhill, and we didn't know what to do. And she got sick, and they took her to the hospital, and she spent the night, and I'd stayed there with her that night. And she just got worse and worse and worse, and we gathered around the room, and they brought my grandpa Greer in there, and we knew it. If God didn't do something, she wasn't going to live. We got together, and we had prayer for her, and I remember praying and asking God that if it was His will and she was ready, that the Lord would just take her. We prayed, and she had been breathing real hard, labored. And that breath that just tears your heart out when you hear it. And we prayed and asked the Lord, if it be His will, that He'd take her. And I remember leaning over and giving her a kiss, and I told her, I said, Grandmother, when you get to heaven, I want you to tell Hannah hello. That's her daughter. You know what? I believe with all my heart, and it wasn't long. It wasn't 5 minutes. She went to be with the Lord, and I believe with all of my heart that when my grandmother got to heaven, not only was those of her family that had gone on before her there to greet her, but I believe there's a granddaughter there to greet her as well. I believe that. Boy, I'll tell you, if we get a different perspective on this thing of dying, it would help us to go on through this life. What a great future that the children of God has together with the Lord and going to heaven. What a blessing that is. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 44, it's talking about dying. It says about the body, it says it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Death doesn't end life if you're a child of God. It's just the beginning. If you look here in this verse again, we'll read it one more time before I close this morning. It says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Look what it says in verse 2. He, talking about the righteous that dies, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. You know what you see? In verse number 1, you see the righteous perish. But in verse number 2, you see the righteous getting better. It's going to get better for the children of God. It might get worse, but I'm telling you it's going to get better for the children of God. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. I was thinking about that song that we sing sometimes. We all know where it talks about there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. There's a better world than this world. You know what's coming in this world? Evil. Bad stuff. That's what that means. God is merciful sometimes in taking us away from what that there is to put up with. Jesus told the disciples in John 14 and 1, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what? I don't believe that day's far away. Say, I hope the Lord comes soon. You don't know how bad we ought to hope the Lord comes soon. Because one of these days, He's going to take all the righteous away from the evil to come. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. And